you have the chance to win a Spring Super Sweeps from LAist. Donate $60 for one entry to win a brand new Lexus or $25,000 in cash. Check out all the other prizes too when you donate now at laist.com/sweeps.
I'm Tracy Thomas, host of One for the Books, a live literary event series from LAist. We are back with guests, author Amanda Montell, and actor Bella Lavelle. You can find us on May 15th at the Crawford Family Forum. Tickets at laist.com/events.
LAist Studios.
From LAist Studios, this is How to LA, the podcast that helps you understand what's happening in our city. I'm Brian De Los Santos. LA is an immigrant city. We know this. You see it everywhere around town, in our music, our food, our neighborhoods. And one of those immigrant cultures that helps shape LA is a Vietnamese community. The Greater Los Angeles metro area is actually home to the largest population of Vietnamese people outside of Vietnam. This massive diaspora community dates back to the fall of Saigon in 1975. At the time, many of these immigrants struggled to find work. Language was a big barrier, discrimination was another. But eventually, Vietnamese workers found a niche they could thrive in.
They were trying to find work that they could do without knowing English, and came up with the idea of affordable nail art and manicures.
This is LAist Asian American Communities reporter, Josie Wong.
Hello. Hi guys, how are you?
We're here.
In the state, there's over 127,000 manicurists. So if you think about it, that's like a mid-sized city. And of these folks, most of them, about 80% or so, are Vietnamese women immigrants.
Nail salons became a great solution for a lot of Vietnamese immigrants looking for work. But Josie's reporting shows that with so many Vietnamese Americans dominating the nail industry, any labor issues or a crisis like the pandemic that closed salons have big impacts on the entire community. Today, Josie's telling us about another one of those problems, pay.
A nail salon worker could be sitting in a nail salon for several hours and maybe just get two or three clients. And so if you work out the math hourly, that's less than minimum wage.
According to Josie's reporting, this could change soon. We'll talk about why so many salon workers are making less than minimum wage and what it would take for that to change.
You want color? What color for you?
Do you have brighter?
Brighter, like neon?
And you guessed it, we're doing it at the nail salon near work over manicures. So Josie, you reported that at nail salons, there's this 60-40 split for pay. What exactly is that?
So what that means is the manicurist is paid by the manicure. The manicurist gets 60% and then 40% goes to the salon owner, which actually works out if you are an established nail technician with a long client list. And so you can arrange it so that you have your clients like one after the other and you just flip them really quickly. But let's say you're a newer nail salon worker, you don't have a lot of clients quite yet, or you're working at a place where it's just slower. It's not a very like busy nail salon. That person could be sitting in a nail salon for several hours and maybe just get two or three clients. And so if you work out the math hourly, that's less than minimum wage.
Hello. We're just going to be talking while you do our nails. That's okay with you?
Yeah, okay.
Just gonna
record
that. Yeah, thank you.
This is something that I do like every 3 years.
Oh,
yeah.
Interesting.
We're usually when there's like a wedding or some kind of special occasion. So.
You're not like once a month manicure, pedicure girl.
No, but I'll admit that, you know, every time I have it done afterwards, I'm like, oh, I'm so put together. And I just like to look at my nails, but then they grow and then you got to do it again.
Yeah,
so.
I feel the same way.
So what you need today?
Okay, obviously my nails are very short, but can you just give me just manicure and gloss?
Manicure.
Mm-hmm. Oh, for me?
You want to do a gloss?
I don't want to draw attention to my stubby nails, so
okay.
Like...
just do a gloss.
Just very, maybe something very... Like,
gloss, yeah.
I spoke to Mike Vo, who is a board member of the leading trade group for the nail salon industry in California. It's called Pro Nails Association. And he was telling me that this 60-40 pay structure dates back decades to when there were many Vietnamese refugees coming into this country after the fall of Saigon in 1975. They were trying to find work that they could do without knowing English and came up with the idea affordable nail art and manicures. This was something that was championed by the actress Tippi Hedren. She starred in Psycho and The Birds, and she was working with refugees, and she really promoted the idea and promoted training amongst these refugee women, and that really just got the ball rolling.
So it sounds like the pay structure was kind of beneficial at first for these workers, and then now, update 2024, we're here, this story comes out, and now we're seeing that nail techs aren't getting paid well.
Yeah, I think this was a pay structure that both the employer and the worker agreed upon. But as there's more awareness of what labor protections you can get as an hourly wage worker, there's more demand amongst nail salon workers to get a host of labor protections and also benefits like work breaks and overtime that you wouldn't get as an independent contractor.
Can I ask you a couple questions about your manicures? Mm-hmm. Yeah, how long have you been doing it?
Me?
Yeah.
7 years.
Oh, wow. Do you like doing it, or are you like, it's work?
Yeah, I know.
You like doing it? One of the reasons why I wanted to come to a salon with you today is because it's such a thing in Los Angeles, right? All my tias, all my mom's friends, you know, like, everyone gets their nails done.
So you know, California actually has the most nail salons in the whole country, which makes sense because we have a huge population, but I think it's also speaking to the demand for the salons. There's actually over 6,000, and most of them are like mom and pops. They're really small with like 5 or fewer employees. So they're not even just small businesses. They're what you would call like micro businesses. So in the state, there's over 127,000 manicurists. So if you think about it, that's like a mid-sized city of these very trained nail technicians. And this is an industry that is 85% female, so highly feminized, and also 84% Asian and 81% immigrant. And of these folks, most of them, about 80% or so, are Vietnamese immigrant women. And I would say the bulk of these workers are, I guess you would say, middle-aged, so between the ages of 45 and 60. And some of them have been doing this for, like, decades. This is just, like, a great line of work for folks who are looking for flexible hours, especially if you're an established manicurist. And also, it's just, like, a great job where you can just focus on the work. If you're not someone who's born in this country and English is not your first language, you don't need to know English to do this very creative, physically taxing work, but you just focus on the actual artistry and technical work that you're doing, like we're seeing right now.
I also love that you noted it's really a creative work as well, because people come in, I see the girls on TikTok or whoever on TikTok showing off their nails or what they do, and I'm like, that's so elaborate.
So much to stay on top of, because the trends are so fast evolving, as you see on TikTok. I think TikTok has like sped up just like how popular the trends are. And so, yeah, there's a lot of 3D art going on and your nails getting bejeweled by these tiny little gems. And so, I mean, I say it's like physically taxing work, but you not have to only be really skillful, but you also have to know what is trending. And I mean, it's just like so much to keep on top of.
We'll get more into that after the break.
Support for LAS comes from Latino Theater Company at the Los Angeles Theater Center, presenting the world premiere of Ghost Waltz by Oliver Mayer, a bold original recovery of Juventino Rosas, one of Mexico's most significant composers. Follow Rosas from his father's early death to his friendship with ragtime genius Scott Joplin, now on stage through June 2nd. Tickets and information at latinotheaterco.org.
Imagine if you could charge your electric vehicle at the places you already love to eat, shop, and play. Whether you're at the movies, on your weekly grocery trip, or running errands at your local mall, Volta EV charging stations are built around your day-to-day and located in your community and nationwide. All you have to do is check in, plug in, and go about your day. It's EV charging made convenient. Download the Volta app to find your new favorite place to charge.
Oh my God. This is one of the reasons why I love coming to get a mani-pedi, is because they massage you while the solution sets in your nails for it to be clean. And it's just a simple rub can go a long way when you're having a stressed day. So it's always a nice thing to get your nails done. Thank you for the massage. It's always nice.
What color was for you?
Do you want to match?
A pastel.
I think we should do neon yellow.
Oh, yes. Let's do it. Let's do it.
I would do neon yellow.
Okay, let's do neon yellow.
It's kind of kidding. Yeah. But
no.
I'll do it now.
You submitted the idea. I'm running with it.
Let's talk a little bit about AB5, which came around in 2020. And now we're in 2024. How does AB5 kind of fit into this structure here at Nail Salons?
Right, so the whole point of AB5 is to prevent the misclassification of workers as independent workers or gig workers when they should be hourly employees. And under AB5, to be classified as an independent worker, you have to meet certain conditions. And industry representatives and workers' advocates alike say under AB5, these workers do not qualify as independent contractors because they are very much integral to the business in the sense that you really can't differentiate them from other employees. They are wearing often uniforms or smocks of that store and using the supplies, the nail polishes, the solvents. Therefore, they need to be treated as hourly workers who are entitled to benefits such as sick time, overtime, work breaks, and vacation days.
I think someone might be like, okay, well, there's this law to protect them. Why aren't they being protected? Or what's happening there? Is there a disconnect between people who might not be English dominant, right? So what is happening here?
I think the 60-40 pay structure, which is not advantageous to some of the workers, is just something that, you know, is how it's been done. So maybe it wasn't questioned very much. But as there's like growing education and awareness about labor protections, you're also hearing about more civil lawsuits being filed by workers who feel that they weren't properly compensated, as well as complaints being made to the Department of Labor, as well as the state's unemployment agency. So there is more knowledge going around, but according to the advocates, far more needs to be done in terms of raising awareness. And so in response to the need for more education in language and culturally appropriate education, there is a bill that was introduced this session which would require training both employers and workers at nail salons on the different labor laws, in particular AB5, and also to make sure that workers are aware that they may be being misclassified as independent workers when they should really be hourly workers. I interviewed several nail salon workers who some were still working in the industry and others were now acting as advocates, and they said they would love to see other workers be able to make a minimum wage and to be able to enjoy vacations. The women I spoke to were already middle-aged and they didn't think that they were going to see these reforms widespread in the industry before they retire, but they certainly hope that for like the 20, 30-something manicurists that are going to be in the biz for a while, that this is something that they'll be able to enjoy and deserve.
I do want to say that when I read your story, I'm like, I'm a consumer. Like, oh, wow, this applies to me because I am getting services from nail techs. I like to do my nails like every so often. And now knowing that some nail salon workers might be underpaid is like, make sure you bring your cash tips because that's a good way to help pay for your services. Did you hear anything else from advocates or nail technicians themselves of like, this is how a client could help us? I don't know, any tips?
Right, so, I mean, the short-term fix right now is to make sure that the workers are aware of you know, what their rights are, but what about the long-term fixes? That was something I had a question about. And so there are two avenues you could go. One of them is that the employer could decide to give a larger cut of the profits to the employees and raise their salaries. But, you know, post-COVID, there are still some nail salons that are struggling, and those owners may feel like they can't balance their expenses with raising salaries. So the other avenue you could go is raising prices. I spoke with UCLA labor analysts who conducted a survey with customers, and they found that on average, customers are willing to pay more for nail salon services if they know the cost differences are going to the worker and improving workplace conditions. And the median amount that people said they would be willing to pay extra was $10.
All right, Josie, thank you so much for hanging out with me and getting our nails done.
Thank you so much. If I had to get nails done with anybody, I'm so glad it was with you.
Yeah. Okay, great. Thank you, guys.
Bye.
Yeah.
Thanks to LA's reporter, Josie Wong, for talking to us about her story. We'll have a link to it in our show notes. This episode was produced by Evan Jacoby. Our other producers are Megan Botel, Monica Bushman, and Victoria Alejandro. Support for this podcast is made possible by Gordon and Donna Crawford, who believe that quality journalism makes Los Angeles a better place to live. That's it for us today. Hasta luego, folks.
The LAist Spring Super Sweeps is happening now. You can win amazing prizes while supporting your source for local fact-based journalism. One lucky grand prize winner will get to choose a brand new Lexus or $25,000 in cash. Other prizes include an electric bike from Juice Bikes and $1,000 gas gift cards. Your donation of $60 gets you one entry to win. And the more you give, the more entries you get. Donate now at LAist.com/sweeps.